Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little. This is Carrie and Tommy.
Carrie and Tommy are currently on holidays. They'll be back to drive you home January 20. In the meantime, we're looking back at some of our favourite moments of the year, and these are some of the most fascinating interviews we've had this year.
These are the best bits from Carrie and Tommy.
I have been a fan of this woman since I was a teenager. We are so excited to have her in the country. Janet Jackson, welcome to the Carrie and Tommy show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's so good to have you here. You haven't been here since 2011. We've been just so, so pumped to have you back for R&B Fridays Live. Give us the lowdown on what's going to happen at this concert.
I don't know. I always say music, dancing, and singing. Because that's what you're going to get. I just hope everyone enjoys themselves.
Is there anyone else that's performing that you're very excited to see?
I don't know if I'll have the opportunity to see anyone, actually, but I would love to see them all. I love Jason, Black Eyed Peas. I enjoy their work, all of them. So hopefully I'll get the chance to see someone.
Will you be giving us, like, the old tunes, the new tunes, a bit of a mix? What's the set list looking like?
Yeah, you'll be getting a little bit of everything. I'm trying to cram as much as I can into the amount of time that we have.
Music is so incredibly nostalgic. I still remember making out to a boy in the back of a car to Got Till It's Gone. Every time I hear that song, I think of him. Is there, like, music that takes you back to certain points in your life?
Of course there is. I think it's that way for everyone. And that's one of the beauties of music, I do believe, because it makes you reminisce. It can make you feel different emotions depending upon what was going on in your life at that moment, especially when that feel-good one comes on. And I remember this being with my friends and we were out having a great time. Yeah, it for sure does that for me.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned feel good, because Carrie actually described the boy that she was making out with to that song, and she said he was gross.
The music got me through it.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, it could, like I said, it can have a different effect, different emotions.
She said he had a big mullet. Do you know what a mullet is, Janet? Is that an Australian term?
Well, that was a haircut for us in the States.
Oh, yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, so that's what it is for you?
Yes.
The mullet, the short and then long in the back and short in the front?
Yeah.
Mullet.
Business at the front, party at the back.
Those were pretty ugly, I thought.
Exactly, which is why it wasn't a great experience. Have you brought your son out here with you to Australia? It must be so tricky travelling with him and touring. What's harder, motherhood or touring?
Which is the toughest? They're both difficult. I mean... And I don't have a nanny.
No,
so,
I know.
How
do you do it? I've got three kids and I take my hat off to you.
It's very tiring.
It is.
You never get enough sleep.
No.
Never get enough sleep. And he always wakes me up, Mama.
Oh.
Mama, Mama, get up. Mama, get up, please. Mama, wake up.
But because they're so cute and you see their little faces and then you're like, you know what? I'm tired, but I can do this.
Of course. Of course. He's the reason I breathe. He's my heart.
Oh. Why do you choose to do it without a nanny? Why do you choose to do it on your own? It must make it,
you know,
immensely tougher.
My mother did it. Her mother did it. Why not? Why can't I?
Mm.
And we'll see. I'm sure I will need someone in the future, some help here and there, but I don't have anyone, and I love it.
Well, Carrie knows a guy with a mullet who definitely doesn't have a job and is available if you need someone to help.
For a nanny?
A nanny, exactly. I love that you've showed your beautiful son videos of you dancing. There's the videos that I still watch today. What did he make of it when he saw them?
Oh, he loves it. He says, see Mama dance. Watch Uncle Michael and Mama.
So
he wants to see Scream at that point.
Have you taught him any moves?
He does this thing that my brother did from Doesn't Really Care About Us, the march.
Oh,
and
yes.
The hand.
Yeah,
he does a few things. He does the head. He loves Smooth Criminal and the ooh.
Has he got a good voice?
He carries a tune. He's very musical, incredibly musical, and he loves watching the band. He loves being where the band is. He loves the drums, violin, guitar, piano. He plays.
He plays?
Yeah, I mean,
wow.
He really enjoys it. He makes up melodies. He carries
my gosh,
a tune.
That's incredible.
He has really
He's
good
two.
Pitch. Really good pitch.
If he grows up and he doesn't go down the showbiz route and goes on to become an accountant, will you be really disappointed?
Of course not.
Oh.
Not at all. It's really about what he wants to do with his life.
Well, because I read in your acceptance speech at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that you wanted to be a lawyer. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. I didn't want to be in the entertainment business other than acting to support myself through school, really. But I wanted to study business law, and my father said no. So here
wow.
I am.
Do you ever think what life might have been if you, what you'd be doing now if you were a lawyer?
I sometimes do it. Probably the family attorney, entertainment attorney. I don't know. I don't know how good I would have been. But obviously this was the path I was supposed to take. I mean, it's been, I'm very blessed. It's been very good.
Your parents very much wanted you guys to be grounded, even though, you know, you were performing at such a young age. I was reading that, like most of us, our parents used to make us do the chores, that your mum and dad were like, you might have been on stage last night, but you're raking the leaves in the morning.
Are you kidding me? Yes. And we grew up, we had 3 acres. So every
That's a
leaf,
lot of leaves.
Yeah, you're telling me. I mean, most kids, you get up when you want on a Saturday morning. We were getting up early, 6 o'clock in the morning, doing chores. And it wasn't just that, but I took care of the animals. We all had different chores. So I had to clean all the animals. And we had so many animals. Had to clean all the animal cages, had to bathe all the animals.
It's funny, my job growing up was to clean out the chook pen, and I wouldn't have thought there was anything that you and I had in common, but to hear that you had to clean up after the animals makes me feel that I wasn't the only one having to do chores like that.
You see, there you go.
Yeah.
There you have it.
You could have gone on to become a star.
Yes, only I didn't have any other talents, unlike this incredible woman here.
Janet, talking about childhood, what's the most important thing that you think you want to pass down to your son?
My gosh, the most important? Mm. I don't know if there's just one in particular. Keeping God very close to you, always. Respecting others, but also make sure they respect you. Oh, there's so much. It can go on and on. Always follow your heart, listen to your gut. There's a lot, so I wouldn't say there's one thing in particular. There's a few things.
You had many years without him. You've now had 2 years with your son. How have you changed since having him?
Oh gosh, well, I've always been a patient person, but there's more patience that you have to have. And I never knew I was as patient as I really am. He's first and foremost in my life. So that's, I get up, I go to sleep. Everything is about him. He comes first in my life.
Well, we're glad that even though he's number one, you're willing to fit us into your crazy schedule and come out here and perform at R&B Fridays Live. We cannot wait to see you. Thank you for being such an incredibly generous interview, and we hope you enjoy Australia again.
No, I love it here, and it's so nice to be back, and thank you for having me.
Enjoy it.
Thanks, Janet.
Thank you.
This is Carrie and Tommy, the best bits.
Now, there is a book out at the moment called Special, and it's written by an Aussie mum and a journalist about raising a child with a disability and the experience around the world for people raising a child with a disability. And I read this book. I couldn't put it down. I took it everywhere with me. I was reading it on the project desk. I read it on the train. I read it everywhere because it was such an eye-opener for me. It turned on its head all of the preconceptions I had about what it would be like. And it's written through the eyes of Mel and the story of her son, Arlo, who has cerebral palsy. And Mel joins us now. Hey, Melanie.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. I obviously know your story having read it, but for everybody else, can you talk to us about how having a child with a disability became your world?
Well, yeah, we had a pretty ordinary pregnancy, and then we were kind of 4 days past our due date, and Arlo's movements were a bit different. He wasn't as active as he usually was. So we went into the hospital and they had a look at him and they said, oh, we can't see anything wrong, but look, you're 4 days past your due date, we'll induce you. So we were just about to be induced. I was all connected up to the fetal heart monitor. All of a sudden, his heart rate just dropped dramatically. And we were like, oh, called the nurse in, and she had a stethoscope out and was scrambling around my belly trying to find the heartbeat and couldn't hear anything at this point. So then the emergency button was pressed. All of these doctors just flooded into the room. And, you know, within moments, my bed was being wheeled out to theatre and I was put under general, and they got Arlo out in about 10 minutes. But because he was deprived of oxygen during that time, he got brain damage, which we would later find out was cerebral palsy, or resulted in cerebral palsy.
How long till you got that diagnosis?
It was 6 blissful months of denial until we got that diagnosis. And even though we were being quite closely monitored, you know, we had to go to the growth clinic at the hospital. We were seeing a physio who kept kind of hinting that we might want to check in with the Cerebral Palsy Alliance. We were very much clinging to, you know, this will be okay. This kind of thing only happens to other people. So yeah, it wasn't until Arlo was 6 months, hadn't met any milestones, you know, he wasn't rolling over or sitting up. It was then that we got the diagnosis.
Was it a moment of your world coming crashing down, or was it a moment of, yeah, this is kind of what I thought all along and now I'm just confronting that?
Oh, it was pretty wretched. Like, part of me was still very much in denial and thinking, you know what, this is going to be mild, this is going to be nothing, or, you know, a misdiagnosis. Like, the amount of times I Googled cerebral palsy misdiagnosis trying to find a similar story where this had happened but everything was still okay. But, you know, a big part of me knew, well, this is a diagnosis. I can't really deny that. And I was so sad, just gloomy for months after that, and just really, really scared, because, you know, you think your life and your child is going a certain way, and then suddenly that's ripped out from under your feet and you've got this big black hole in front of you and you have no idea what your future or their future is going to look like.
Mel, obviously the book is called Special, and although there's obviously confronting things in it, there's some very uplifting things as well. At what point was it for you that this changed, that it went from, you know, as you said, a big hole opening in front of you to realising there are amazing things to be taken from this?
It was interviewing the parents that got me there. I sort of was desperate to know that this wasn't what I thought it was, that everything would be okay. So that's why I wrote the book. You know, everyone says talk to other parents, befriend other parents who are raising kids with disability. I didn't want to do that. So I thought, you know, a sneaky way to get around that would be to say, oh, I'm writing a book, can I interview you? And, you know, a very one-sided conversation. So I can
why didn't you want to befriend them?
Because I didn't want to admit that I was like them, you know. Like, I couldn't even say the word disability at the start of this. Mm. And befriending other parents would have taken a level of acceptance that I just did not have at the beginning. Then, you know, as I was talking to them, the conversations started changing. You know, if you're told 50-plus times, this is okay, this isn't what you think it is, we're living, you know, a beautiful life, then, you know, it starts to stick. And by the end of the book, I felt entirely differently about this experience.
For people that don't know, and I'm not sure I 100% understand either, what is life like for Arlo? What does having cerebral palsy mean for him in his everyday life and his future, I guess?
Yeah, well, cerebral palsy is so broad. You know, it can be quite mild. Arlo is quite severe physically, so he's non-verbal and non-mobile, so he can't roll or sit or walk. We're working on it very hard with his physio. He also can't speak, which came as a surprise to us because we didn't think that would come under the, you know, the physical category, but it also affects the muscles in his mouth and his tongue, so he has trouble eating. We're working on that, and he doesn't have any words yet, so we're helping him to speak using his pupils with an eye gaze device, which is very exciting. But Arlo is a very busy little boy. He's got appointments every day. We've got physio, OT, 3 different speech therapists. He also goes to daycare 2 days a week, which is bloody brilliant. It's just, you know, your standard daycare. They've been amazing.
When you had time to write this book, yes.
Well, exactly. My God. But yeah, these are daycare. It's just, you know, the daycare up the road, and they'd never had a kid with disabilities before, and they just embraced him. They got all the equipment he needs. All of his physio, OT, speech therapists have all been in there to show them, you know, what to do for him, and they've just been so good. And he's got 20 little friends in there who all adore him. It's awesome.
So much of parenting is about milestones, and I love in your book how you talk about the future milestones. All of that can go jam it because they mean nothing to what Arlo means to you. Can you talk about that a little bit? Explain that to us.
Yeah, well, it sucks, you know, especially at the start when you just realize, oh, my kid isn't meeting these milestones, and there are things you can cling to at the start. You know, boys develop a lot slower than girls, and but then it gets to a point where you can't really say those things anymore. And it's hard because the whole world is kind of designed around these milestones. You know, like Arlo wears nappies that are called crawler nappies, and he's not crawling, and you know, he's in clothes that are a size 2 and he's 3.5. So everything is designed to make you feel like crap, or so it feels when your child is not meeting the standard marks. But it's been really liberating for us to just go stuff it and like throw the rule book out and say, you know, we're going to write the story from here and just let Arlo lead the way.
Mel, you said that this was a book that you wish was around for you. I don't have kids. Would I still get something out of this book? Who's it for?
It's for anyone that knows anyone that has a child with disability. And look, frankly, I hope it's an interesting read anyway. And there's kind of coping strategies and things in there that just would help anyone that's had something unexpected happen to them, or, you know, when things don't go to plan. I think there's a lot of good things in there to help. But certainly, you know, there's advice for friends, you know, how to talk to a friend who has a child with a disability. There's advice for parents, you know, the grandparents of children with disabilities. I think other people that might get a lot out of this are people working in the disability sector, you know, like therapists and doctors, to get the parent perspective. I think it's really important to get an idea of sort of what we're going through and how you might be able to help.
I think a lot of people are scared when talking to someone who has a child with disability because they don't want to say the wrong thing. What advice would you give for people on how to have those conversations and how to not feel scared?
I'd just say just have them. I mean, I would have been the same, you know, and I'm still awkward in some of these conversations, certainly when, you know, meeting with adults with disability, I still feel a bit scared about saying the wrong thing. But God, it's better just to, you know, to talk it out. I think the worst thing is having silence, or even worse than that is when people say like, I'm sorry, or like, don't say you're sorry. Let's just have a chat. Just ask me how I am. Ask me how my child is, and be careful how you ask that as well. Like one of the mothers I spoke to for the book, she has a beautiful little son called Dare who has Down syndrome. And she says, people will ask, oh, so how is Dare? But for her other kids, they're like, oh, so how's so-and-so? And it's just a completely different tone, and it sets up a really negative conversation. Yeah. So I'd say, you know, just ask how we are, ask how our kid's going, and just ask it in an upbeat or normal.
It was the back of the book that got me when I was reading it, Mel. It says, why has this happened to me? When will I stop feeling shit? Will I ever stop comparing my child? How will my relationship survive? Will I be able to work again? Should I have another baby? What will my future look like? You have gone on to have another bub. How does that bub fit into your world now? How is it a little girl?
She is a little girl, Odie. So she's Odette, who we call Odie, who's 19 months old now. And yeah, she blows our mind. I mean, every little flick of her finger we, you know, are amazed by. We don't take anything for granted. But it's funny, Arlo's kind of made us quite weird parents. Like when we took Odie for her 6-month vaccination checkup, the doctor was like, oh, she's sitting up. And we're like, oh, no. And we got home and sat her up and she sat and we're like, oh, right, she can. And when I first saw her, I went into the room and the first time I saw her standing up in her cot, I like shrieked in horror and ran out of the room and slammed the door because my brain is not used to seeing babies standing in cots. It's used to seeing babies lying down. So it was like I'd seen Chucky. Like I was proper horrified.
So you're not encouraging Odie to stand again?
Well, she's been slow to walk, I must say.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, Mel. I think there's so much that everyone can take out of your book. Thank you for writing it, and all the best with everything in the future.
Oh, thanks, Carrie. Thanks, Tommy. Lovely chatting.
And if you do want to get a copy of this book, it is called Special and it is in your local bookstore right now.
These are the best bits from Carrie and Tommy.
Now, if you're a mum or dad of a kid, I reckon 6 or 7 and under, you'll be very familiar with this sound.
Mom!
All right, we won't play the whole opener, although we could, because it is such an awesome tune to start a cartoon with. It is the cartoon we're talking about is Bluey.
Yes.
It's the adventures of a lovable and exhaustible six-year-old blue heeler pup who's absolutely gorgeous. The whole family is gorgeous, actually. And joining us now is the EP of Bluey. Would you please welcome Daily Pearson?
Hello. Oh, look at it. It's a crowd. Look at the thanks very much crowd.
Thank you. Please don't ask the crowd.
It's lovely to be here.
Any follow-up questions, the crowd do not respond. They just clap.
You have a Q&A there.
First of all, I have to say thank you because you have just released Bluey merch. This morning I literally uttered the words, if you don't go to bed tonight, I'll be taking away your Bluey toys. Ooh. So it's a real threat in
the house. That's really lovely. We should put that on the boxes.
Sweet.
Like, you could use this as a threat if you'd like to. Helpful with parents.
What I love about it is there's been, you know, a series for a long time now, a kid series about mum, dad, you know, mum and dad and their kids. But there's something about this one. I love the family dynamics. I love how real it is. Mum heads off to work. You know, dad's so great with the kids. He's not like sort of the Homer Simpson, doofus kind of, I can't do anything, I can't cook, I can't clean. He tries to be hands-on. He gets it right sometimes, gets it wrong at other times. If you haven't heard it, here is a little bit of Bluey's dad.
You all right, Bluey?
My knee.
Give us a look. Ah, yeah, okay. I'll just have to chop the leg off. What? You don't need two.
Was that your purpose from the beginning to try and sort of change the dynamic that we've often had in these kind of shows?
I think it was luckily a bit more organic than that, because I think it was just trying to be truthful to what we're like and what Joe's like and what Charlie's like, what we're all like at the studio. And I think it, by trying to be really authentic to that, the other stuff happened a bit by accident.
It's absolutely gone off its rocker. The number one program ever on ABC iView with 152 million program plays. I mean, cop that Q&A.
150 million are from our house.
Yeah, it feels like the machine's broken. It feels like there's some kid somewhere who's just continually clicking. It's also very strange because we've just started overseas. And the New York Times wrote about it recently. It was the first sort of international article we had. And they said that it was set on a tropical island, which technically is true. It's like we are an island and we are tropical.
We'll
I just didn't
that.
Know if they realised it was Australia yet.
So, it was good old Brizzy.
Yeah, so we're like, that's technically true. I was like, well, we can't fault you.
And then you're a man with a fair bit of range, because then we go from Bluey to you being housemates with Thor.
Oh,
and
that's
a lot for one man to cover.
It is a lot, but, you know, it was just I put it out on Craigslist and he responded. And so it's all been pretty unexpected.
Well, if you don't know what Housemates with Thor means, it's like a little sketch that was done where you play literally.
You mean a dramatic series, though?
A dramatic series, sorry. Sorry.
It was a little sketch. It was something that you shot on your own iPhone.
But Thor, Chris Hemsworth is Thor, and you guys are housemates, and you're telling him it's time he got a job so he could pay some bills. I think we have a little bit of it here.
I can't pay rent with these things. One's a pumpkin, and these are Asgardian coins. They're not worth anything.
In Asgard, these coins are worth a gazillion human dollars, okay? There's a gazillion. You're rich. There's a gazillion. Gazillion, gazillion, gazillion.
It goes on. Check it out if you haven't seen the whole thing. It's very funny. At the end, he just starts talking about all his muscles. You could watch it for days.
And he does have a lot of muscles.
Do you watch it for the comedy content or for his muscles?
For both. I could do both at the same time.
Okay.
I'm a multitasker. But how did that come about?
We've had a lot of film and TV out here recently. Brisbane's the city of the future, didn't you know? And they did Thor here, and then Taika Waititi was out here, who's the director, and he's an inspirational creator. And he half said, do you want to help with this idea? And I thought, because I do film and TV, it was behind the camera, but it wasn't. He just wanted to put me next to a living Adonis to show how puny and weak I look next to Chris Hemsworth. So it was really an international shaming, which was great.
Daily, we have run out of time, and I don't know quite how to finish the interview, because usually I encourage people to watch the show that the person has made, but it's the most watched kids show on the ABC. It's the number one program ever on the ABC.
You can tell people, no more watching.
They're watching.
There's a new Christmas episode, which my family's very excited about, which premieres next week on Thursday, 6:20 on the ABC. So watch that if you
watch that one.
yeah, you can watch that. I hope you like it. It's a good one.
It's always good to have a new episode.
It's about Santa on the veranda.
Oh.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I thought so.
Well, the show is obviously called Bluey. David Pearson, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate all the love and support from you guys. Thanks a lot.
This is Carrie and Tommy, the best bits.
Hey, smash hit Aussie movie Ride Like a Girl is coming out very soon, September 26th. Its premiere was on the weekend, of course.
Based on your good mates. Amazing superstar, run.
Melbourne Cup winning jockey. She joins us now, Michelle Payne. Hey, Michelle.
Hey.
Firstly, how are you?
I'm good. Been a bit of a busy time, but yeah, no, I'm really good. It's a lot of fun.
Have you recovered from the premiere?
Yes, just. It was, you know, an after party from 4 to 8, but all the family was there and it certainly kicked on a hell of a lot longer than that. But it was a really fun and special day for the whole family to all be together to watch it. It was really special.
Well, it was a fun and special day for, of course, everybody that got to go to the premiere as well.
I saw Christian,
like a massive,
who used to Christian work on our show. He's in it, I think.
It was star-studded. Yeah. Michelle, why wasn't I invited?
He must have got lost in the post.
Were you not invited?
I was wondering why you weren't there.
I was invited. Were you not invited?
Were you?
Yeah, I was invited.
Pain Train, what? This is rubbish. I've known you for years and I don't even cop an invite.
Don't you have a horse together or something?
We've got horses together.
We've had a couple, actually, and hopefully a few more in the future.
Well, I mean, it doesn't help when you're not inviting me to your parties. This is your movie.
Next one, you're first on the list.
Ooh. Were you worried what he might do at the party? He gets quite rowdy.
Yeah, well, we'll take the chance on that.
Hey, obviously your gorgeous brother Stevie plays himself in the movie. I heard he absolutely steals the show.
Absolutely the star of the show. No disrespect to all of the other amazing actors, but he blew me away. Like, the way they captured him in his natural essence, I thought they wouldn't be able to because he gets really nervous in front of the camera, but he was amazing. They just had him like he was at home on the farm because he's so smart and funny, and his one-liners, like, he doesn't waste any time with words, and they just absolutely nailed it with him. And I told my family, I was like, you will be amazed at Stevie, how good he is. And they're like, yeah. And then after the film, they're like, oh my God, how good was he?
Teresa Palmer plays you. How weird is it seeing somebody play you on the big screen?
I went in there with an open mind and I was absolutely blown away by her and how she captured so many mannerisms I have, even the way I walk. She's
just really?
Like, yeah.
How do you walk? I've never noticed you walk in a different way, Michelle.
No, I've just got a
swagger?
A waddle, really, probably.
Is that spending too long on a horse? Does that give you a waddle?
Not sure. I think it's
like Tony Abbott style. You know how he rides a lot?
The clip copy walk?
Something like that. But, yeah, I laughed at the end when I saw her walking. I was like, oh, my God, that's even how I walk.
My dad is rubbish at giving me compliments, and I believe from our text messages your dad might have the same trait. Was he glowing about your film?
Oh, my God, my dad's hilarious. I was like, what did you think? And he goes, I liked the ending.
That's it.
That was it.
Better than nothing, I suppose.
I think he knew what was going to happen, but...
Okay, so what we need to do now is you need to get together with this new horse, get a new horse. You need to go smash it out of the park, you and Michelle together, so you can be in the next movie. That's what needs to happen.
Well, our current horse, Little Mannix, do you reckon it's any chance of winning a Melbourne Cup, Pain Train?
If the Little Mannix grows another leg, she might be, but...
Hey, make sure you check out Ride Like a Girl. Yeah, it's in cinemas
awesome.
September 26th. It's always a pleasure. Michelle Payne, thank you, mate.
Thanks for having me.
These are the best bits from Carrie and Tommy.
If I asked you who owned this year, who came out of the person of 2019, as the person of 2019, it would be this absolute legend. Number one tennis player, Ash Barty, and we got to have a chat with her a couple of days ago in this incredible house.
Yeah,
so maybe somebody I
owned
leave.
It. I thought it was like a hotel. Somebody owned
it. It felt
that
like
house.
That. I know. Yeah.
We've also got to say a massive thank you as well to luxury watch brand Rado, who's teamed up with Ash Barty to create her own limited edition watch. If you want to see any of these details, Rado is when you need a head.
We didn't just chat to Ash. I was going to call her Barty. Bit familiar, too soon.
Barty party.
Yeah, we didn't just chat to Barty. We also had some fun with Barty. Here's how it played out.
So, incredible year. Have you said after winning in China that you wanted to come back to Oz, have a week on the couch with a beer just to reflect on it all? Have you done that yet?
I have. I probably had a few too many beers. But look, it was all in good celebration with family and friends, and it was really nice to unwind. But already back into it, which has come around a little bit too quickly for me.
How? You had a holiday, didn't you? A couple of weeks off?
Yeah, we had 4 days. We went up to Hamilton Island. So I had 4 days up at Hamo, but I'm also kind of torn between when I'm on a holiday, I want to be home. I want to sleep in my own bed. Right. So I was kind of like 4 days was enough to relax, but no, I would have loved to have stayed there for the full 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Surely they should give you more time off. Like as soon as you become world number one, they should go, okay, you've earned it. You get a year to party now.
Oh, I wish. It'd be incredible. But that's the beauty of our sport, isn't it? We play 11 months of the year, especially with Fed Cup. We're playing right until the end. So it was good reasons to be tired, good reasons to be busy. But, I would have loved just a couple more weeks off.
Were the nieces happy to have you back?
Yeah, they were. Yeah, and my sister just had a new bub as well. Oh, so now I've got two nieces and one nephew. So I've been full on at home on the trampoline and playing the sprinkler out the back.
On the sprinkler under the tramp?
No, not on that one. I haven't taught them them yet.
Okay.
They're probably a touch young, but I am a bit of a bully on the trampoline. I can still double jump when I need to.
Just kids flying off.
Yeah, they love it.
But they're not fun anymore because they've all got nets around them. It's like the old days where you could actually, hurt yourself.
Oh, yeah, I've spring heard, going flying.
Many legs and knees through the springs. Oh, it's a killer. But yeah, they've got the nets around them, but at least they can jump into the net. So,
congratulations on another Newcombe medal. Is the medal presentation as boring as the Logies?
I've never been to the Logies, so I couldn't tell you.
It's real boring.
All right. Well, I have to take
Tommy's
your word
date
for it.
This year if you want. If you've got nothing better happening they in never July, give me I mean,
a,
I'm sure there'll be
They
no
don't give me a plus one.
Anything.
Don't worry. It's not even an option. It's fine.
But, for us, it's actually good. There are so many of the young kids, volunteers, and kind of all of our community comes together. So even though for me it's a bit of a late night, I feel like I'm a bit of a grandma. Yeah. It's a late night finish, but it's all good.
What's a wild night for you? What time does that finish?
Oh, yeah, not late. I'm kind of 10 or 11 and I'm done.
Damn.
I'm in bed at 7:30 on a Saturday. That's a good night. That's amazing.
Nothing wrong with a night in.
Ash, I'm assuming you know about Carrie's history with tennis. Do you know? Because it's infamous as far as she's concerned.
Yeah?
You don't know?
Yeah, hit me with it.
You've never heard about Big
Well,
Morse,
hit me with it's a funny phrase.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Carrie and Yvonne Lendl have a bit of a history.
Right.
She was hit in the head by a ball from Yvonne Lendl when she was a ball girl back in the day.
Hopping cup in Perth.
You consider yourself one of the great ball girls of your time.
My career was cut short because of the hit from Yvonne Lendl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you ever nailed a ball, girl or boy, in the head?
In the head, no, but I've hit a couple of the young boys in places that maybe head would have been a nicer option. So I think a couple of times, but you feel terrible.
I feel like no one understands the plight of the ball kid. You're hot, you got your little hat on, that's it. You have
you're
to deal
hot.
With the Yes, it's hot. It's hours
you're hot.
Out there.
You're hot.
Not like attractive.
She had tickets on herself when she was young.
I think you got to stand there and deal with grumpy players throwing you sweaty towels the whole time. It's hard going.
I think ball kids really have to be switched on. I couldn't do it. I couldn't be switched on the whole time and, understand where the ball's moving, the times, and then you get players that are grumpy and throwing a spanner into the works. That's never fun.
So here's the thing. Bickers reckons she was the best, but I've never been able to test it out. And personally, I haven't got the skill or the speed to test it out. Should we put her to the test on the court?
Well, I'm thinking AO training probably starts soon for the ball kids too, so maybe you should. I think it is under 16s, but they might make an exemption. You just have to...
Oh, they'd make an exemption for you.
Well, I'll request that you two are on my first round match at come AO time.
All right, well, we're going to hit the court now.
Yes.
You're going to put us through our paces, and we'll see.
Me as well.
Yeah, mate. World number one doesn't get out of ball kid practice.
Oh, wow.
I reckon we give you an option. You can either do ball kick practice with Carrie, or she reckons the main problem when she got hit in the head was she was waiting for the ball to bounce, but it was coming at her head on the full, and instead she
self-preservation didn't come into mind.
Right. I mean, I was only 14. Yeah.
Should we smash some balls at Carrie?
What if you just serve the ball and I can recover and see if this time I can land it? I can catch it neatly.
We can do that. Yeah. We can try that.
I feel like Yvonne Lendl's been with me for too long. It's time for you and I.
Okay, I can roll with that. I can try.
I don't want to give away what happens next, but
man.
I still can't
I
move
bad.
My pointer finger.
I feel bad. Your confidence
yep.
like just really outweighs your level of coordination. Stop it. I didn't know it was going to be so bad.
Okay, don't give
I've
it
never
all away.
Seen
Stay
such
tuned
an
to
attempt.
See how good I am at sport.
All right, it's on the other side of this.
This is Carrie and Tommy, the best bits.
If you've just joined us, we have been chatting to the person of the year.
World number one.
Our very own Ash Barty, the legend, the myth that is. And the subject of you being a ball girl got brought up. Because
I was hit in the head by a serve from Ivan Lendl when I was 13.
Yeah, when I say got brought up, I mean because you said the whole time, we've just got to talk about this.
Well, no, because I feel like it was not fair at the time. It made it look like I was hopeless. And I thought I've been wanting
all this.
It made
it look like that.
Well, no. It was. It's hard to be a ball kid.
I didn't know. I feel bad for what we did. So Ash is just about to serve to you.
Yeah. It's my time to redeem myself.
No, I feel bad. I had
you
no
should
idea
feel bad.
How unco.
No, it's not
you
about
were.
Me being unco.
Oh,
you're just
my
mean.
Gosh. Have a listen to this.
You reckon you're the best here. We've never seen it put to the test.
I mean, I never said the best.
You know, you said the best ball girl of all time.
I heard the best.
Ash Barty's here to put you to the test. Right, are you going to go one bounce and into the hand? Is that what
we're... One bounce and into
the
hand.
Yeah, okay.
Righto.
Okay.
No contact.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
hold on.
How close
I'm going
to
get one of these four.
One?
Just go body on.
Oh,
I thought you said one hand.
Sorry.
That was almost in the head again.
It's been 25 years.
Nope.
Stop moving. Do ball girls usually jump out of the way terrified?
Last try.
Well, they usually touch the ball.
They usually touch the
We're
ball.
We're 0 from 3.
Okay, I've got this. Oh!
I mean...
Chest mark,
I'm going to
Hey, that wasn't
that's
bad.
That was good.
All right, last one.
Last one, okay.
Just really... She was hit in the head by Ivan Lendl. I think it would be nice if she was hit in the head again.
Oh,
I know
no.
It's meant to bounce. Just absolutely line her
the
up.
Beamer? Is he telling
absolutely.
You to smash it in my head?
No, just a standard one. Another one. Yep. Here we go. Okay. Final one. Carrie Ballsmore. Let's see what you can do.
That was a stitch up from Tommy.
That was not me.
I'm so sorry.
All right, not the best in history ever.
I instantly regret it.
All right, I'm going to use my finger for the summer.
Have you ever...
I'm shaking hands, but I can't believe it.
I don't think we should ever do that again. Ash Barty, thank you so much.
Thank you, and I'm sorry.
Mate,
I'm declaring it. It's time for me to hang up the racket.
Yeah.
I mean, well, racket, it's a stretch. I've never played it.
Why has that ball girl got a racket?
Hang up the ball.
You try. Why? Again. Why is that ball girl trying to hang that ball at places? You tried to catch that ball like someone who had two of those giant novelty foam hands on for the first time.
No.
I've never seen someone
so
bad.
You know what happened? It brought back 1994, and as it was steaming towards me, I had flashbacks of Ivan Lendl, and then I just got... disorientated.
But
my finger was so bad I almost had to put it in a splint yesterday because it was so swollen I couldn't bend it.
It instantly went swollen and then a bit of colour
started. I think it's fine now though. I thought I'd broken it, but I'm good. I'll be dining out on this story for another 20 years.
Is this a bad time to tell you that's just the wrong hand and the other one's completely swollen?
These are the best bits from Carrie and Tommy.